This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Nutrafol.
This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasure on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you could click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. Inner Hoe Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she, her, they, and them. And if you're looking on YouTube, who looks like she's cosplaying as a character from Wayne's World, but I'm not.
You know what? Now I can't get that out of my head. That is not what I thought at all. But now
I looked in the mirror and I was like, I am fucking Mike Myers.
I'm seeing it. Yeah, Wayne's World. I don't know. That's the only thing I know, but
great. I've never seen the films.
I like the vibe, though. And me, Rodeca, a fat, Black, polyamorous, pansexual, existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here with Mike Myers. Oh, my pronouns are she and her. She and they. There you go.
Every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're starting off with a little game. Would you like to play a game? I think this is the last episode before Halloween, so very fitting. Would you like to play a game? Shout out to Saw.
Yeah.
We're playing a dating app based game designed to weed out the losers. Then we're going to have a conversation about boundaries and standards in romantic relationships. Plus, marriage is on the decline. We're going to talk about why and give our thoughts on a BBC series all about ethical non-monogamy.
If you would like to follow along with us and this conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hoe Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hoe Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to innerhoeuprising.com to pay a hoe or to cop some merch.
Well, this episode is about to snatch you bald. But you know what won't snatch you bald? Nutrafol. In fact, it may help to achieve the opposite effect. So this podcast is sponsored by Nutrafol and healthy hair growth. Nutrafol supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting the five root causes of thinning, those being stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism. Nutrafol is physician formulated to be 100% drug-free. They use medical-grade botanicals in consistently effective dosages so you get the most reliable results. Visit Nutrafol.com and take their hair wellness quiz for personalized product recommendations that are unique to your hair's needs. Healthier hair growth takes time. You'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months. As Nutrafol's powerful ingredients bring your body back to balance, you can also notice improvements to your overall well-being, including more restful sleep, less stress, and better skin, nails, and libido. Rodeca, what is it like taking Nutrafol?
So I've been taking Nutrafol every day for a little bit now. It's 4 pills a day. I know that sounds a lot, but it's actually not that hard to manage. You just kind of pop them in and you forget about it. And it's filled with ingredients that I recognize. Like, I got the bottle here. It's always next to me. Like vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D, biotin, iodine, zinc, selenium. And then they have like a Synergen complex and a Nutrafol blend. But it's actually filled with some adaptogens, which, you know, what Molly's chatting about, to help with stress. One thing that I have noticed, even though I haven't noticed anything with my hair yet because it does take a little bit of time, is my nails. So all of my nails are a lot longer. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, because they usually break off and they're definitely stronger now. So that's kind of like an unexpected benefit of taking like extra vitamins and stuff like that. And could definitely say that's a benefit that I'm noticing now, and I can't wait to notice it more in these little strands here.
Cool. Well, we look forward to marking along with your journey with Nutrafol in the coming weeks and months. Well, you listening to this podcast can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering promo code IHU to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, there is free shipping on every order. So get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code IHU. That's I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. And yeah, check it out, man. or Persan. All right, we are starting with our first segment. It is called Fuck Is This?
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
Yeah, this is the segment where we discuss, rant about, or laugh at nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating. And today we're starting off with a tweet that was a TikTok, the tweet to TikTok pipeline.
I could not be happier because it's the one platform that I consistently enjoy and I have no shame in it.
Anyway, so I'm not going to play this really, but the TikTok says, I started asking my Hinge matches their most controversial opinions to save time. And this is by TikTok user Olivia Dendike or something like that. And somebody by the name of @_incandescent on Twitter reposted it saying, this is so smart. So when we were doing our little these are big meetings. Okay. When we were doing big ass fucking Interho uprising pre-episode meeting, we came up with the idea to do this on our own and share our results with all of you. Rebecca, how did it go for you?
No one likes me.
Oh no.
It was more like, you know what it was? Like,
my most controversial opinion is that I hate you.
Like, I hate you. No, people, I don't know if it was because it was like a night, like a Saturday. So people were just like, I'm not answering you. I'm already on a date. So no one answered me. And yeah, I don't have any data, but I'm hoping that eventually I will.
Not you said data.
I was like,
this is a big psychological study. Okay. Big podcast, big meeting.
After you said our little meeting, I was like, we got big data, you know, information's over here. It's not me asking questions. This is important. Okay.
That's funny. Okay, so I primarily use Hinge, as I've mentioned on this podcast a couple of times. And I've also mentioned that I don't like fucking up my dating algorithms by wasting time on people who I find to be just bullshit kind of people, man. I don't know how to say that in a better way. So I purposely downloaded Tinder for the first time.
Wow.
In a long time. I was like, this is where I can get multiple, because you can just swipe on Tinder, you know?
Yeah.
Hinge, it's like you can swipe with three people and then you have to stop or something like that.
Yeah, like there's usually likes are out and you're like, damn. Like,
yeah, which happens on Tinder too.
And it always stops on a person that I'm interested in. And I'm like, fuck y'all, because y'all know I want to spend this money.
That's how they get their money, yeah.
But just kidding.
They get their money on selling our data, yeah. That's how they get their money.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
The trick is just wait until the next day.
Yeah, I just wait and then they're there again. So I'm like, okay.
That's good. Yeah, never buy from Hinge. Unless Hinge wants to sponsor this podcast, in which case, hey, babies.
Then we will buy from Hinge, okay?
Okay, so I did it. I everyone who I actually matched with was a man. And that's just because women don't swipe right on me on Tinder for whatever reason. So that is the data set that I'm working with. But it's all races of people. Not that race is a real thing. Shout out to In Those Jeans podcast. But it's all races of people. So
okay.
I asked this question to everybody. Tinder, you can't copy and paste. So I had to type out this question several fucking times. So that is putting a lot of work for this episode.
We appreciate Sam for everything that she does. The labor is just, wow. Even typing that, you know? Controversial is a big word.
It is, and I spell it wrong every time. And I always write Ive Breaker, and then autocorrect is like, we're not going to change its eyes.
It's Ive.
Fucking Steve Jobs. Icebreaker question, what's your most controversial opinion? Vaccine mandates should have happened a long time ago. So that was the first one. Second one, hello, hey, what's your most controversial opinion? Do you put pineapple on pizza? So this person flipped it back because they asked me. And then I was like, LOL, I do, sad face, because I knew it was coming. I knew I was ready to be judged.
So that one I have seen, even though I haven't asked, I haven't had the question answered, usually on Hinge is a prompt that says, this is my controversial opinion.
Yeah.
It is more often than not, I put pineapples on pizza. And to be fair, it feels like it's not a controversial. It is controversial. I am vehemently against that. Like, same people who put sugar in pasta, the same thing. It's just some things are not meant to be sweet. I look for
there's sugar already in pasta. Okay.
No, and listen, exactly. I had to make sure I said that. I look tomatoes for pasta
have
sauce.
Sugar in them.
I'm yeah. aware. So that's the most that I can say. Yes, there is definitely natural sugars in tomato and we can accept it for what it is. But yeah. if it says sugar in the ingredients, I do not pick it this up. Is, I pick it up specifically for not
this
sugar.
Is due to you being Haitian, because I remember my Haitian friend was staying with me and we got like sweet and sour chicken one time. And she was like, what is up with America? Why do you mix salty with sweet?
It doesn't need to be together. Like something's
Do you
fine.
Have waffles with your eggs? Do you Barely. Have waffles with your... Okay.
Barely. I'm committed to this. In all aspects of my life, I'll be like, those two things don't go together. Like, but to be fair, like salty and sweet desserts, I don't mind. Because I'm like, you can put a little salt on a chocolate chip cookie and that shit bangs. Like, I get that. But
I like chocolate chip cookies a little salty.
Yeah. So yeah. I like them. So that's good. Yeah. But sometimes it's too much too. And I'm like, this is a big salt crystal. This is not good.
A big salt crystal. Fair enough. So I said, LOI, I do sad face. And he said, oh. And I was like, deal breaker, huh? And he said, I mean, I wouldn't eat it. I put sad face, like a long sad face. And I said, because you're Italian, because the person was Italian.
Okay.
He said yes. That was yeah. the end of that. Next person, icebreaker question, what's your most controversial opinion? This one got weird. Thinking emoji. Custody battles for children are extremely one-sided, favoring women, and that's not fair. Follow-up message. I have no kids, by the way. It's like...
So you're aware. You're aware that you have no leg to stand on in this argument whatsoever. At least you knew that. But yeah, no. Okay.
Icebreaker question, what's your most controversial opinion? The worst one, probably all caps, women are bad drivers! ! Where are you from?
Me. I love that everyone cushions it with something else behind it.
Hey, hello. After all caps, right? And I was like, damn, I just drove home safely, but okay, sad face. And then he said, you had, and he put a four-leaf clover emoji.
Wow. It was nothing but luck that got you home, bro.
You had luck. Where are you from? I want to meet you in person, smiley face. And I said, you sure? I might accidentally hit you with my car, sad face.
That's such a Sam response. Yes. Yes.
Next person, icebreaker question, controversial opinion. LOL, first date guys always pay. Sam, what are you looking for on here? Casual dating. And he said, fuck, buddy. And it's like, all right. Like, so you're not even going on dates. Why is that your controversial opinion?
You don't even plan on paying on anything. You're trying to go straight to the bedroom. That's not a controversial opinion, though.
Yeah, it's also not a controversial opinion. Yeah. Yeah. This next one is controversial opinion. What's your most controversial opinion? That Twin Towers was an inside job. And I said a lot of people name bleep name think that. Because I once did an episode of this podcast called I Got Ghosted by a 9/11 Conspiracy Theorist, and that person was the exact same name as this person. So don't date bleeps, man.
Don't date them. And if you think it might be that name, just go with the hunch, man. Just say, you know what? It's probably that name. I got to
amass a data set on that. What's this one? This one is like one of those guys. Whatever. Icebreaker question, what's your most controversial opinion? Depends on the person's perception of what offends them to make it controversial. But I'll say we're getting fucked over hard by elite pieces of shit that divide us by class and color of skin. And I said, that's not that controversial to me.
Yeah, I would say that a lot of people would agree with that one. I think that's the type of conversation that we've been having a lot as a people. And,
yes,
as I think we'd all agree. I think we'd all agree.
And then he said, exactly. And then he said, thoughts on COVID? Should I be mandated to take a vaccine or lose my job? And that's why I said he's one of those kinds of guys. I don't believe in the state. I don't believe in anything. I don't know anything either. No, whatever. We talked a little bit after that. Icebreaker question, what's your most controversial opinion? I'm not going to read that one. Okay. Yeah. Icebreaker question, what's your most controversial opinion? To get apartment. You? I said, how is that an opinion? And how is that controversial? What are you up to? Where are you from? And that's when I was like, yeah, I'm glad I don't have Tinder.
Whoa. To get that apartment. Don't get more controversial than that. But niggas don't even try. That was 100% one of those like, yo, what's your favorite color?
Five. Wanna have sex?
Five. What color are your nipples? It's worse because my brain couldn't even think of anything other than colors. So I was like, yo, I would answer the question honestly. I was like, yo, what else is there? Yeah.
How could I not say green?
Dogs. Yeah. What a fuck.
Oh, man. That is so funny. What's your most controversial opinion? Having cops in schools. This person looked like a cop. And I was like, okay, how's this going to go? And I was like cops should be in schools or shouldn't be in schools. And he said, shouldn't be. And I was like, I agree.
Wow. Yeah. I was for sure thinking he was like a cop in every school is mandatory. It's like, damn. Okay. Just support the way you look. I get it.
Yeah. Somebody said Trump is better than Biden, and I was like, why? And he was like, Trump kept us on our toes. People sleepwalking with Biden. And I was like, you think you're woke.
Got it.
That's cute. You think you're woke. Dunkin' Donuts is better than Starbucks.
Okay.
That's a pretty controversial opinion.
That's controversial. Yeah. Because Dunkin' Donuts coffee is horrible.
Not according to this person who loves the chai tea latte.
No, the chai tea latte at Dunkin' Donuts is bomb, but it's better at Starbucks. So either way, yeah, no. This person likes sweet stuff, which is fair. Everything in Dunkin' Donuts is hyper sweet.
Okay. Probably puts pineapple on their pizza, though.
Yes.
I will also say, blah, 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 sweet shouldn't go with things. Pineapple is also sour, okay? Which adds a whole nother dimension to the process of eating it.
Okay, I'm eating a pineapple now, and I was very, very much about to say they are not sour. But then I remember the kind of like,
you don't even know. Moment and this nigga don't even know what pineapples taste like.
No. Chill.
This nigga eating beans.
There's a new one where a guy was eating a whole pie in a movie theater, and it was a Patti LaBelle pie.
Sometimes this nigga needs to eat beans.
Yeah, sometimes you do. You don't need a nigga behind you like shouting it out, but I mean, if you are eating beans and moved there, I'm gonna say something. It has to be the exact same.
And it has to be, yo, this nigga eating beans.
Yo, this nigga eating beans.
What the fuck are you doing? And why? All right, I think that's enough for the controversial opinions, don't you? Yeah. All right.
Yes, cool. I do.
Thank you, all of the participants on Tinder who I will never speak to and hopefully never see ever.
And you guys should try out this question.
I think it's actually a good icebreaker question. Another person was like, as a comedian, I could have a lot of things to say, but I'll just say this. I hate all types of cheese.
Cheese?
Yeah. All types of cheese. But like something like that is like, now we can talk about why you hate cheese and that can go into other things and stuff like that. And then there's a couple of other ones where it's like, this can actually be a fun conversation and not like, I hate trans people. Which like I got some like that and stuff like that too. And like abortion things and stuff. But that's also an easy way to just weed people out. Like just don't talk to them
anymore.
Yeah,
instead of getting to that point, you're just like, all right, I know that from jump, which means you're not my person. So I'm ahead on out. There you go.
And then my self-care tip of the week of that is like, don't engage. Like you might want to be like, let me teach you something. No, just unmatch them and then you can have a good day.
No matter how cute they are, it does not matter.
Yeah. I might go out with the women or drivers people. Sorry.
I felt like when you said it, you were like, I felt like there was more to it, but I was like, I'm gonna just let her rock because she didn't say anything. But you know, it's okay. It's fine if you're gonna go out with them.
I'm not the best driver anyway. Whatever. Anyway. Okay. It's not like I'm going to marry him or anything. Speaking of marriage, right? But not yet. Okay. Let's go into our next thing in the fuck is this? Okay. Well, somebody tweeted, somebody by the name of @callmedollar tweeted, consideration is top three for me. Lack of it will get you cussed out and dismissed. I don't care. And then somebody quote tweeted that with a video. The person who quote tweeted is Zay okay? And the caption of the video is broke off an engagement over a tree. And the video actually is the actress Jennifer Lewis speaking on what appears to be a podcast. So now I'm going to play that clip.
Here's the example of why I had to get rid of him. We're driving on a car, driving on big car. Life is great. And I come up on an Australian tree that I know is extinct. Mm-hmm. But blooms pink. They're a fucking pink tree. Of course I'm going to acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. So we're driving and I go, oh, that's a pretty tree. Him. You say that about every tree. I was like, well, nigga, you gotta go. The fuck is wrong with you? I'm sorry, but don't them bitches help us breathe?
I love that part. Don't them bitches help us breathe?
I mean, it's the way she says it. It's fantastic. Yeah. Even when hearing that the second time, like, because we just heard it before. Well, Sam probably heard it a million times, but we heard it. And like, I immediately am just like, yeah, son. Even hearing, like, you say that about every tree. So, nigga.
I'm
excited about fucking life. Things are pretty. Like, why can't things take my breath away for the 15th time? And I'm just like fucking excited about it. If that's something that bothers you, then you ain't it. Like, you ain't it for me. You sound grumpy. You sound mad. And I don't like that. I don't want that energy around me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like, and me as a person, I like the fact that anything anybody ever does for me legitimately shocks me every damn time. And I'm just grateful
for it.
Yeah, it's just like, oh. Like, it's just like.
Rebecca is like that every time. You complimented me.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's never a moment where I'm just like, I just couldn't imagine a life where it's like someone said something, I'm like, whatever, I expected that. It's always like awe-striking. And like, imagine being somebody who just doesn't like that about me. Like, we would not be able to work because like, I would have to change who I am, or I would have to feel ashamed for the fact that like things excite me, or things like she's seeing a pink. I don't like the idea of seeing I've never seen a pink tree before. Or I don't even know if it's like just the blooms are pink or like there's something about it. That's like, I don't know. But regardless, I've never seen any of those things, but I'm sure the first time and each time I see something like that, it would excite me. And I would hate to say that aloud to my partner for them to just be like, you say that about every tree. Yeah, nigga, I do. You don't like that about me?
Exactly. So I think like even on the flip side, because, you know, people date out here. I'm talking about myself. I don't know why I did that in the third person. But, you know, like if you're on a date with someone and like they do something, you're just like, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't agree with that. I don't care what you said. I don't think the thing that you found interesting was interesting. That means that you don't like them and you should probably not continue to pursue it.
Yes.
So because if you are thinking about, like, if you are like, bitch, you say it about every tree, that, like, that should not be your bitch.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, yeah, sometimes you get to the point where it's something that somebody does all the time is not cute anymore. It's like, shut the fuck up. And at that point, you probably don't like that person anymore. You probably don't like that. And especially if it's something that they always do and it's like pivotal to their personality. Now we got to start thinking, all right, so is this something that you want to keep going with? And like, throw out that mentality that you like need to change that about them. Or just like, you think, like, did you think that you saying that would eventually make me not say those things about those trees or, you know, be that excited about stuff? No. And if you did, then why do you want to change me to be more like you or more like what you think? It's just not fun. And at that point, you're like, you got to start evaluating whether or not that's something that you want to continue. And I like that Jennifer in this moment was like, look, I don't even need you to figure it out. I know I don't want that around me. So I used to be not ashamed of it, but I used to be like very much like, all right, I hope people don't think that I'm being disingenuous when I'm like genuinely excited about these things. And I don't think it comes off that way. But as I've gotten to older and I've gotten to like embrace certain things about me, I really like that about me because I just feel like, yeah, it's like genuinely just me. And it's genuinely things that like excite me and things that make me happy. And like, that's why I resonated with it so much. Cause I could see myself being that person, like going like, ooh, look a tree. Ooh, look a tree. Ooh. And then like, hey, maybe that's not your cup of tea. And I understand that, but like, don't bring me down. Cause I'm having a damn good time over here. And just don't, you know, be with somebody who never looks at the trees out the windows and y'all just get to your destination. And maybe that's just like, I'm not judging you for the way that you are. Just don't try and bring somebody down for the way that they are. That's all. Yeah, I fuck with that quote. I feel like that's a good one right there.
Don't them bitches help us breathe? Well, up next. Marriage is on the decline. Why is that? And how does it relate to our personal lives? But first, a message from a voice you haven't heard in a while. I'm going to send it over to your boy, Rob, fellow IHU co-host.
How many times have you been ghosted? Are you starting to think it's you? Come check out my article called, Is My Pussy Haunted? Cause These Niggas Be Ghosting Me, where I, Rob the God, dive into anxious attachment style and a potential link to uncommunicative ass niggas. I explore my own experiences with ghosts and how my last relationship pushed me to look inward. All you gotta do to read this baby is be a patron. That's right, become a patron at patreon.com/innerhoeuprising for as little as $2 a month. And get access to insightful articles like this, as well as other exclusive content from my favorite co-hosts. The link is in the show notes as well. Signing up helps to keep us in business and keep you in the loop between episodes. This article will be up on Thursday, October 28th. Come support your thotties, expand your mind, and comment your thoughts.
All right, we're getting into our current event segment. It is called Fuck That. Today we're talking about an opinion piece that was in the New York Times, along with some other stuff and Rodeca's thoughts on some stuff. So what are we talking about?
We're going to talk about how the married will soon be the minority. It is an opinion piece by Charles M. Blow. Great name, by the way. And I took like the parts. It's a very easy read. So I figured like we'd read through it and then we could talk about it. So it starts with Charles saying, when I was young, everything in society seemed to aim one toward marriage. It was the expectation. It was the inevitability. You would and should meet someone, get married, and start a family. It was the way it had always been and always will be. But even then, the share of people who were married were already failing. The year that Charles was born, 1970, the percentage of Americans between the ages of 25 and 50 who had never married was just 9%. By the time he had become an adult, that number was approaching 20%. Some people were delaying marriage, but others were foregoing it altogether. This trend has only continued, and we are now reaching a milestone. This month, this was actually written in October, so it's actually literally this month, the Pew Research Center published an analysis of census data showing that in 2019, the share of American adults who were neither married nor living with a partner had risen to 38%. And while that group includes some adults who were previously married, those who are separated, divorced, or widowed, all of the growth in the unpartnered population since 1990 has come from a rise in the number who have never been married. This came on the heels of data released by the National Center for Health Statistics last year, which showed that marriage rates in 2018 had reached a record low. We are nearing a time when there will be more unmarried adults in the United States than married ones, a development with enormous consequences for how we define family and adulthood in general, as well as how we structure taxation and benefits. Of course, the unmarried and unmarried portions of the population vary among demographic groups. As Pew pointed out, among those 25 to 54, 59% of Black adults were unpartnered in 2019. This is higher than the shares among Hispanic, which is 38%, white, 33%, and Asian adults, which is 29%. For most racial and ethnic groups, men are more likely than women to be unpartnered. The exception is among Black adults, where women, 62%, are more likely to be unpartnered than men, 55%. As a society, we have started asking ourselves whether it is fair and right to continue to reward and encourage marriage through taxation and policy than fewer people, disproportionately Black ones, when fewer people, disproportionately Black ones, are choosing marriage or finding acceptable partnerships. Is marriage always the ideal, and should people pay a loner tax, part of what The Atlantic's Lisa Arnold and Christina Campbell in 2013 called institutionalized singleism for not pursuing it? In 2013, when Arnold and Campbell were completing their analysis, they found that over a lifetime, unmarried people can pay an upward of $1 million more than their married counterparts for healthcare, taxes, and more. There is clearly a case to be made when children are involved that they benefit from more parenting and more money. This doesn't necessarily mean marriage, but it often does. As the Brookings Institution explained in 2014, children raised by parents do better at school, develop stronger cognitive and non-cognitive skills, are more likely to go to college, earn more, and are more likely to go on to form stable marriages themselves. Using our own benchmarks of success at different life stages developed as a part of the Brookings Social Genome Model, now a partnership with the Urban Institute and Child Trends, we find similar patterns. But what of adults who have no children or whose children are now adults? Paul Dolan, a behavioral scientist at the London School of Economics, says that while men in the aggregate can benefit from marriage because it calms them down and makes them take fewer risks, women again in the aggregate don't receive the same benefits. On the contrary, according to Dolan, the happiest subgroup of women is women who never marry or have children. This, of course, could be debated. This could be debated until we are all blue in the face. There are plenty of responsible men who don't need a wedding ring as an anchor, and there are plenty of married mothers who would argue that their families are the light of their lives. But the point remains, marriage is a prevailing ideal as a prevailing ideal is losing its grip, and the stigma of being unmarried is also losing its grip, as it should. Now, government policy that rewards the married while punishing the single must also loosen up. Definitely agree with it. Definitely heard this and was like, wait a minute, I'm a Black woman. That sounds like me. And for me, it kind of like marriage has been, for 2021, has been a very big topic in my life. Like very big in my life, where I think since I was like born, I was very much the stereotypical, I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to like, yeah.
I didn't know like, that about you.
I know. I was very, like, I used to still probably do have a Pinterest board. I haven't been on Pinterest in a while, for like dresses, weddings, every relationship I've had. I've been like, you know, we got to get married, right? Like, da 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 da. I had a promise ring at one point in time. Like, all this type of stuff. Very, like, huge aspect of my life. Like, that's always what I dreamed would be the thing that I, like, grew up and did. 28 now, my last relationship, one of the reasons why we actually ended our relationship was because I was really like, yo, we getting married. Like, I was sacrificing things like this big wedding, which as now an adult, money is a thing, and I understand the value of a dollar. So that shit wasn't happening anymore. So I was definitely more grounded in a lot of things, but I had wanted to elope with Chris and be like, yo, let's just do this, because I still want to get married. That's still a thing that's really important to me. And then, you know, one of the reasons why is because he really said, like, I wanted to go along with this with you, but like, I don't believe in marriage. Like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to do those things. Like, it's not that I don't want to be with you. I don't know. I just don't want to get married. And for me, that was a very like, no, I'm sticking with my values, and this is what I want. And like, I don't see a future if that's not something that you eventually want with me. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, I start thinking about marriage now, and I'm like, I've been watching a lot of media. I've been reading a lot of stuff where it's just like, the characters in and of themselves are like, I don't want to get married. And like, hearing that over and over again has made me start thinking, well, what is it about marriage that like really makes me feel like I need to do it? And I know for me, and I'm realizing for me, it's this idea that you're keeping a person because you're married to them. But 50% of marriages end in divorce. And I had to start thinking like, is that because I'm afraid that if I don't get married to someone, they could just leave me? But then I'm like, they could just leave me anyway. So it's just like, I think it's really just trying to keep someone that I realize. And I've always just felt like that was the end goal. Like, that's how you know somebody wants to be with you. That's how you know you're like chosen, because someone is putting a ring on their finger and saying, I want to be with you. Regardless of the fact that I've heard like, hey, I do want to spend my life with you. It didn't feel real to me until it was like, but I want to get married. And then also with that, like this idea of having children, it was easy for me to switch over. Not easy. It definitely took time. But there was a time where I really wanted children. I wanted a really big family, actually. I wanted to have 5 children. And then reality set in. And I was like, that has to come out of me. And I don't want that to happen. And like, it's just like, I was like, wait, how are these children getting here? Me. Like, and as it started to become more real, it was like, wow, I really don't have any interest in that. And then like, I've had conversations with people who have been like, why? And I've had people try and convince me like to have children. I'm like, and I always say this, and it startles people every time. I'm like, I do not believe in bringing somebody into the world without their permission. I just don't. And it's until there's an idea that can beat that, I won't do it. And it's been pretty steadfast in the fact that that's just not what I'm going to do. So now with marriage, it's just like, it has become, interestingly enough, like, unless there's a reason for it that is beyond like my own insecurities or my own like feeling like I need to, like for me, it's also about making a family, but you can do that outside of marriage. And it's no longer something that I immediately associate with having a ring on my finger or getting married. It's more like, you know, is that foundation there? Is that feeling there? Are these things that I want with a person? And can that last? Regardless of whether or not we have like these things on paper, and there are taxing benefits to it. There are definitely some things, but I think there's like a good Frank Ocean line that I really love.
I didn't expect my other least favorite artist. I'm just kidding. But I didn't think Frank Ocean
was going to get in this. I will never, ever,
no, he's ever. Not my least favorite artist in any sense. I like a lot of Frank Ocean songs.
No,
like,
I meant I will never get over that time that we were at the bar. And, like, I'm not good at defending my arguments. I get really emotional about it, and I have no way of saying anything other than, like, but why? I'm definitely one of those people. So me and Sam, it was just so funny when me and Sam talk, because we get there, we have conversations, but Sam is very fact, like, tell me the facts. Just tell me what it is about him that you like. And I was like, what do you mean? And like the bartender had to come over and be like, let me help you out a little bit. It's because of this, this, and this. But I was like, how could you not like him? Sam's like, I didn't even say I don't like him. I just want to know why people like him so much. So like, it was such a bad moment because I was like, I couldn't defend him in anything other than pure.
No, because he makes you feel that way.
Yeah. It was
your feelings for Frank Oceans cannot be put into words. So there's that. And not me saying Frank Oceans. Oh my God. Squid Games.
The
anyway.
Multiple ones. The Squid Games. Yes, we do add an S to everything. And it's really weird. It's really weird.
I'm black.
Black people do be doing that shit. I'm trying to find, I know the exact quote, but I'm trying not to like, it's like something, the first wedding that I've been to in my 20s, thinking that maybe the government doesn't have anything to do with it. Maybe the government, maybe someone is not someone to own. And that line right there makes me think like, damn, why are we doing this shit, son? Like, what? Why is it such a big deal? And then if half of them are ending in like, nah, we got to start thinking about what it means to be married in general. Like, what does it change? Why is it something that's important? And it's definitely been something that, like, that has been one of the top questions of, like, reflection in this year, 2021, for me. So the fact that, like, you know, I'm in this demographic that it's more and more literally Black women are like, I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to do this. I feel like maybe we're onto something, because we do be onto some shit, you know? And the fact that I'm seeing the happiest is because I'm starting to point where I've been boldly claiming, like, on Hinge and to people that I'm meeting, like, I have no interest in being in a relationship right now, like, period. Casually, sure, but like, relationship, no. So in saying that, and the first time where I'm not pursuing a relationship at all, it has definitely called to question certain values that I once very much felt like pivotal to my personality and pivotal for my future. Definitely breaking that down and saying, maybe I don't need to do this. Maybe there's more to it. Maybe there's other things. Maybe there's other things to look forward to. Because it's like no longer a child. And at this point, almost no longer a marriage. That's something that I'm interested in. So what else is there? And what else do I want to look for? And obviously there's plenty of things out there. But, you know, reshifting my focus has been. So when I read this article, I was like, yeah, I feel this. I feel this. It was a good time. What do you think?
I have three things to say. One of my favorite things about being on dating apps is that I steal a little bit of everybody's personality who I've ever spoken to. That's why I'm such a multifaceted person. And I actually still talk to this person, but there's a lot of people who like suggest me music and I never talk to them again. But there's this song called More Cake.
Okay. What
the fuck is her name? Yeah, but like the lyrics are like, there's more cake than wedding cake, there's more dreams than diamond rings, there's more to this beautiful life than being a beautiful wife, there's more cake for you, blah blah blah.
Nice.
I don't really like, do you love my singing voice? No. I don't really value marriage as an institution. I never really did, other than with one person who I really thought that I was going to get married to, and then like that didn't happen, and now I really truly do not give a fuck about it. But I think that media messaging can be super pervasive and kind of like make you feel bad sometimes. And not just media messaging as it pertains to like television and stuff like that, but like social media. Like, there's a reason why certain things go viral, and engagements always fucking go viral. And it's just like, that's not happening to me. I don't foresee that happening. I don't want that to happen. How do I disengage from this? Yeah. So like, I listen to that song pretty often. Her name is Charity and the song is called More Cake. Shout out to Charity. So that's my first thing. Second, I wanted to talk about that statistic, that 53% of marriages end in divorce statistic. I forgot like what the full research is, so I'm not going to get too much into it and grain of salt, but there's something about that statistic that is a little bit misleading. And I think it is the fact that it, or my remembered fact, that it doesn't include the fact that marriages are lasting longer now than before. So sure, half end in divorce, and sure, more less people are getting married now, but the people who do get married now are more likely to stay married. Yeah, exactly, than before. And I think that kind of like lines up with the other statistic, because like if less people are getting married, then more the people who are getting married are like, no, we actually really want this.
Yeah, that which makes sense.
Yeah.
Like they're actually going into it like with the intention of like, all right, let's do it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. What was my last thing? Oh, my last thing is like what you were saying, like with the Frank Ocean thing or whatever. I think that there's a lot of things that just we accept as like truth or normal or how life goes and things like that. And that doesn't really like take into the fact that humanity in some facet has existed for hundreds of thousands of years. And marriage is a fairly new concept. And I think with these like concepts that have these mainstays in our life, we don't really think about the origins of them too much. And we absolutely should, like the origins of fat phobia, for example, and how that's rooted in racism, or the origin of race and how that's rooted in like a justification for slavery and things like that. And so we don't think about like the origin of marriage, and that was just like women as property and like trade deals, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, why is this that important now, you know? And how does that affect the institution as it exists now in 2021?
Yeah. And the fact that now like marriages are, and I talked about like not wanting this big wedding, but marriages are incredibly expensive. Like this is an industry that
weddings
is made...
are expensive.
Yes.
Marriages are. You said marriages.
Weddings are
expensive. So there's that whole marriage versus wedding thing.
Yes. Weddings are expensive. Which like granted, some people are opting to like not have expensive weddings. Even the whole like diamond industry, like that's where did the fuck did that come from? Where like now we have rings that cost $15,000, $20,000. And it's just like this ideology that's like being pushed into our brains. I was like, I don't even know why I want this.
Why does it have to be a diamond? Why does it have to be a diamond? And why are like lab grown diamonds less valuable than diamonds that we're extracting from the earth when we're already extracting enough finite resources from the earth?
Because it's the stigma. It's just like people like, oh, that lab grown. Like you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even know, but I have to feel this guilt, or somebody has to feel guilt in buying it or something like that. I don't know. It's just strange. We just got to remember, like, what are things that are important to you? Why are they important to you? And is it your own ideas and coming from you and your heart? Or is it something that's been fed to you since you were like 3 years old when you had Barbies in your hand and they had a wedding edition? And
I used to make my Barbies scissor. So
yeah, I did. I used to make them scissor because I had only girl dolls and I was like, I'm gonna make this work because I can actually see it in real time. But then like when I made the boy dolls and the girl dolls have sex, it was a teddy bear. So it's like it was kind of like some weird shit. Like that's where the kink started.
Not furries.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? I was like, oh shit, like I was already down for different stuff, you know what I mean? And I remember one time like I had a doll that got pregnant, so I like stuffed like some fabric under her dress, and like my sister found it. I was like, "What is this?" I was like, "She's pregnant, obviously." And then it's just like, "How did she
you
get
don't
that
know
way?
Science?"
Yeah, and I was like,
"Not how did she get that?
Are
way?
You like how did you get that way?" And I was like, "I mean, do you want me to spell it out for you? Because like, here's the boy
the
doll
you
right
think
here.
The, you think the stork did it, bitch? They was fucking.
Let's not be unreasonable. And like, that's like really matter of fact. Yeah. So what's up?" Yeah.
That is so funny. All right. Do you want to get into this quick ass media?
Yeah, sure.
Ass to media. I want to see you watching ass to media. I want to see you reading ass to media. I want to see you hearing ass to media.
Ask Media is the segment where we give book, TV, podcasts, film reviews that relate to sex, love, and dating and or gender. They are spoiler free. Rebecca is talking about a show called Trigonometry today.
I am. So Trigonometry is a show that airs on BBC Two.
Big
Two.
Black Cock Two. Sorry.
What the fuck does BBC stand for? I don't know.
British Broadcast Channel, I think.
Okay, not. And also Big Black Cop 2, the second version. BBC 2 calls it a love story about three people who are made for each other. I watched the first two episodes of series one, and I really enjoyed the energy, the pacing, and the actors. It stars Ariane Labed as Ray, who is a world-class synchronized swimmer who decides to change her life after a jarring accident. Moving out of her parents' home and journeying into London, she finds a room in a flat leasing from partners Gemma, which is Talisa Texera, sorry if I mispronounce your names, and Kieran Gary Carr. With Ray taking odd jobs in the city, Kieran working as a paramedic, and Gemma trying to keep her humble cafe afloat, these three each have their own swirling lives distinct from each other. And for me, that was a really refreshing take that I haven't really felt in other media that I've watched about polyamory. I believe I did another Ask Media before. I don't even remember the name of the show, but it was about that one of the, it was an anthology, and one of the episodes was about polyamory. And because it was just an hour.
The sci-fi show?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Was that called Soulmates?
Yes. Yeah, there you go. And I really like Soulmates. That's horrible. I don't remember the name.
It was a year ago.
Yeah. But that, because it was an episode about polyamory, but it was only one episode, and obviously they're just like doing the story within that, everything about their lives was about their relationships, and everything was about, you know what I mean? So it was just like, okay, like, is there anything more to these people other than the fact that, yeah, I'm in a unique situation. Mm-hmm. And then other times that I've seen it, especially earlier on before this podcast and before I was really identifying as poly, mm-hmm. I would watch things about polyamorous couples, and it was always like this like kooky air vibe, like look at these strange people living strangely, like on a strange love show. And it was just like, so it's either that spectrum or it's just like everything about their lives is about this relationship, and you don't really get to deep dive into anything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. So each character on this show for me feels wholly independent and has their own backgrounds and interests and flair, where as like I said, it feels like polyamory in most media is the entirety of their personality and interests. Mm-hmm. I also love that Gemma, which is the one half of the couple that starts on the show. Mm-hmm. She's vehemently against marriage, which is funny because that ties into what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Kieran is actually like, I want to get married. And she's like, no, like, I don't even want to get proposed to. Like, I don't believe in this institution at all. Mm. So I thought that was really cool. And the first two episodes were mainly about just telling the story of like of people who are struggling with money, anxiety, violence happens, and trying to keep it all together. So far, they've done a great job at building tension, like actual genuine tension, like sexual tension. I'm like, oh shit, like what's going on here? But like, it's not blatant where it's just like, as soon as, even though I do have a qualm with, I do not think that Ray is not an attractive person. I think Ray looks like Kristen Stewart, which like some people might say Kristen Stewart is not an attractive person, but I think they look almost exactly the same. But it's one of those things where Ray is one of those people where every time they walk into a room, everyone's like, whoa, who's this person? Or, oh my God, they're so attractive. When to me, Gemma's the catch. And I'm like, this is a bad bitch right here. Like nobody is like talking about this person here, but they're just like, as soon as Ray walks through the door, that she's just like, I mean, I can guess you can see that objectively they're an attractive person. Is that going to be a problem? I'm like, are they objectively an attractive person? Okay, whatever. But I think that's the only thing, but also, they've done a great job of building the tension, like I said. And about 40 minutes into the episode, the intensity took a big upturn where the characters got drunk and vulnerable. And I was worried that they were just going to immediately have sex in the first episode. But it's actually like them kind of like bonding over the bruises that they have, because Ray gets into an accident and Kieran isn't a paramedic who just like keeps saving people for some reason, because that's just like what he wants to do. And he puts himself in harm's way, so he has bruises on his body as well. And they're just like talking about that. And the moment ends, and the next episode, they just like continue on with day-to-day lives. And it's not like only about this. It's like, hey, I need money to keep afloat. Someone's dad comes in and like judges them for just like not being as successful as they could have been. It's not about like their relationship yet. And I like that. And I can see like, I think it's cute because I can see like the vibes with them, but I don't think it's like, if I didn't know the plot, I actually wouldn't have thought that was what was going to happen. I would have just thought it was an episode about like a show about three people. And then if it did happen, I'd be like, oh, this feels right. It feels natural. It feels like something that I really want to continue watching. And I would definitely am excited to watch the rest of the series. I feel invested in the characters and want to see how they naturally progress into being a throuple. I don't know if throuple was really a controversial word or something. I don't know if that is yet. I was going to say triad. One of those two. I don't know which one, because the terms always change into like what's good and what's not. I'm going to just go with triad. And I would personally recommend. I think the only thing that kind of disappointed me was like it's traditional, like a man and two women, which is like a common thing. But I did like the fact that it was a white woman joining joining a black couple as opposed to a black woman joining a white couple. I just enjoyed that. And I was just like, I didn't want that to happen. It didn't happen in Soulmates. Soulmates, it was a black man and a white woman. It was a black woman joining it. And then this one, Gemma is, I believe, mixed. And Ray is black and Kieran is white. I mean, Ray is white and Kieran is black. And I would personally recommend this show for people who want a refreshing take on polyamory. And I think when I finish the whole thing, I'd love to go back and like talk about how it all ended and hopefully they don't disappoint me. So yeah,
that's cool. Great. Nice. Yeah, I'll check it out. British shows are always pretty elite. So
yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Cool. Well, we hope everybody enjoyed this motherfucking episode. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and let everyone you know that you love these hoes, whether that be on social media and or in person. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Innerho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Innerho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to innerhouprising.com to pay a hoe or cop some merch. And you can follow me, Rodeca, at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram or Fat Black Snack for my Finsta.
You can follow me at SamRid on Instagram and Twitter. You can see all my cool October cosplays. Yeah.
Every year we love Sam coming out with more costumes. It's a fantastic time.
Thank you. All right. Have a lovely motherfucking week because you deserve to. Bye.
Bye.